Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, April 25th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, what are the Catsby Awards? And are they as lame as they appear? Why did Hamidou Diallo come to Kentucky in the first place? A high school quarterback reminds Kentucky football who they really are. Why starting the college basketball season on a different day doesn't solve all the problems with the sport. The NBA playoffs continue. The Reds need a new scouting report on one Brewers player who's killing them right now. One future NFL Hall of Famer has a new home. And we find a baseball game to pick tonight after starting the season on this show 4 out of 5, picking underdog winners. So let's go.
You are listening live.
The lead headline on the Lexington Herald Leader sports section website this morning is telling us about the Catsby Awards. Boy, that looks like a big barrel of laughs. All the Kentucky athletes get dressed up like they're going to some Oscar award ceremony, and everybody's given awards. Not shockingly, John Calipari and Mark Stoops received the Co-Coach of the Year awards for the University of Kentucky. What a shocker. The contrived bullcrap in that entire place last night had to be unbearable to anyone who lives in the real world. But to those people at that school, I'm sure it was wonderful. And I'm sure that the people who got to go just thought it was wonderful too. And I'm sure people are looking at the videos today. Oh, I wish I was there. Wow. You people need lives. The Catsby Awards. Whatever.
After a few days of practice, players gave me a nickname. Started small, but now they'll chant it at me every now and then. That's pretty nice.
What's the nickname?
Wanker.
Do you know what it means?
I think it just means great.
Big Blue Nation still reeling from the news yesterday that Bam Adebayo is officially gone and that Hamidou Diallo is going to test the draft process, which leads a lot of people to ask the following question. If Calipari knew that Diallo was going to go in the NBA draft when he got here, why did he let him come here in the first place? Especially when he didn't get here until midseason. If you ask me, I think Calipari just wanted him here so he could add another number to that list of first-round draft picks that he's had while he's been at Kentucky. You ever notice how somehow, some way, Kentucky sneaks these guys right at the end of the first round of these NBA drafts? Daniel Orton, Archie Goodwin, last year, Scal Abissiere. Guys who probably wouldn't or shouldn't go in the first round, but somehow, some way, Cal gets on the phone, pulls a few strings, and presto change-o, all of a sudden their first round draft picks, right at the last minute. And of course Calipari once infamously said that the greatest night in the history of Kentucky basketball was not a night in which they won the national championship, but it was a night in which they had 5 players drafted in the first round. So if Diallo goes pro, and if he goes in the first round, and still never plays for Kentucky, not even being a one and done, being a none and done, who does that really help? Did it really help Diallo to come here and practice for a few weeks? You know who it helps? It helps John Calipari, and it helps him recruit, and it puts another check mark in the column of first round draft picks. Whereas 99% of Big Blue Nation would rather see him put another check mark in the column of national championships and not worry about first round draft picks, but that's neither here nor there. So with the defections yesterday, Kentucky next year lined up to have the youngest team that Calipari has ever had at Kentucky. But should people worry? Not at all. It's going to be the same old stuff next year. They're going to be preseason top 5. No matter who comes back, no matter who signs, they're going to be preseason top 5. And then all of a sudden you're going to wake up and they're going to be winning the SEC regular season. Lather, rinse, repeat. It's like Dick Vitale announcing. He's had the same lingo and the same sayings for 35 years. It's just the names have changed to the players. And that's the point we're coming to in Kentucky basketball. The names change, but the music stays the same. So if Diallo does go pro, he'll be none and done. And I saw a list of the 3 other players who attended the University of Kentucky and who actually played NBA basketball. Some guy named Gunther Behnke, who I barely remember growing up in the 80s, who came over and then he got homesick and went back to Germany to his girlfriend. Only in the 80s could that have happened. I'm sure if Calipari did that today, Calipari would have paid for that girlfriend to come over here and stay with a big 7-foot center from Germany. And of course, the one that I remember, Sean Kemp, who had signed with UK in the Eddie Sutton years, right at the end when he was about to get busted for God knows what. Sean Sutton, the coach's son, had his gold chain stolen, and Sean Kemp tried to pawn them. But Sean Kemp to this day says, I didn't break any laws. I don't know who stole them. I just tried to sell them. Isn't that breaking the law? I've never broken the law, says Sean Kemp. Selling stolen merchandise? Isn't that trying to break the law? And I'm sure that whoever stole Sean Sutton's jewelry was like, hey, Sean, let me help you out here. Here's some gold chains. Why don't you take these to the old pawn shop and see what you can get for them? And you can keep the money. Really? Sean Kemp stole those gold chains. I'm sorry. No matter what he says, I've never broken the law. Then why did you not play a second for the University of Kentucky? They kicked you out of school when you tried to just sell those gold chains. Who stole them then? Not gonna rat out the guy who stole them? Snitches get stitches, huh? Something tells me, Sean Kemp, you know exactly who stole those gold chains. And of course, Enes Kanter, who became a lottery pick in the NBA, didn't play a game for the University of Kentucky. But yet, Big Blue Nation considers Kanter one of their own. I never heard anybody in Kentucky claim Sean Kemp as one of their own. I wonder why. You didn't see any free Sean Kemp t-shirts back in the day, but you saw plenty of free Enes t-shirts, that's for sure. So whether Diallo comes back to Kentucky or stays in the NBA draft, Big Blue Nation should not be shocked or upset at the fact that Calipari is not about the fans. He's about churning out first-round picks and getting the best possible players on his team. If they win championships, that's great. But his first priority is obviously recruiting the best players.
You got to ride a few players a little bit harder than some of the other players.
Blondie, you are killing me!
John, what do you got on there pants-wise? What is those?
3/4. And I get those in the women's section, John!
One college basketball note that I saw yesterday. College basketball always starts their regular season on a Friday night in November, which I never understood in the first place because those first regular season games, they're all cupcake games. There's never a game that's like, ooh, I can't wait to watch this one. It's always the big boys against the also-rans. And it's on a Friday night when nobody's watching TV anyway. Most people are out doing anything else. But now they're going to change it from Friday night to Tuesday night. And apparently, that's going to solve all the problems of the opening week of the college basketball season, when we all know that's not the problem with the college basketball season. You're starting your season in mid-November, right up against college and pro football, which is a huge mistake. And it's a battle that you can't win. And I'm sorry, these early season games, it's kind of like college football's first week. You see a game here and there that catches your attention, but most of these games are dreadful. Quick, who did Kentucky play opening game last season? Don't say Michigan State. They played them the third game. I don't remember who Kentucky played the opening game, and odds are you don't either. Why? Because it didn't matter. But you remember that Michigan State game, you remember that UCLA game, you remember that North Carolina game all in December. You remember those games, don't you? Yeah. But you don't remember those cupcake games against guys like Valparaiso. College basketball needs as much help as it can get. In the rest of the world, outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and some other college basketball hotbeds, this is a one-month-a-year sport. People pay attention to college basketball when it's time to fill out your brackets and gamble. So if you move opening night from Friday to Tuesday, yeah, that helps get you some attention early in the season, but it doesn't help the fact that you're a one-month sport that has very limited national appeal at this point, and all the games are lousy because they're all cupcake games. So you can brag about changing opening night from Friday to Tuesday all you want, but it doesn't cure what really ills college basketball, and that's that nobody cares in mid-November because we're all worried about football.
Next year, come back and really give Stoke City, a big old heaping plate of payback.
But of course, next season, Fulham won't be able to play Stoke, will they? Because they've now been relegated after today's result.
That's a thing? Wow, that's...
It's a big thing.
You know, I was relegated in the fourth grade. I had to go back down to third grade because I wasn't a great speller. You know, still not.
Jaren Williams is a 4-star quarterback. How many stars? 4 out of how many? Is that out of 5? Is that out of 10? Apparently, he's some hotshot quarterback recruit. And by the way, if he signed today with whoever he's going to play college football with, he wouldn't take a field for 17 months. That's how pathetic we are in this town. But Williams was a commitment, a verbal commitment, to Kentucky. Yesterday, he decommitted. Now the teams like Alabama, LSU, Florida, Tennessee, they've all offered him scholarships. Why in God's name would you want to go to Kentucky when you have all those guys after you? So he has reopened his recruiting process. I'm shocked. You saw the same thing last year. Some four-star kid named Mac Jones verbally committed to Kentucky, and then he changed his mind once Alabama offered him a scholarship, and now he's at Alabama. Here's the only analogy I can make. If you're not the best-looking guy in the world, you're follically challenged up on top, you can lose quite a few pounds. If you're an average to below-average-looking guy, and you're walking around town with the hottest girl in town, guess what? And then your boys, who are bigger and stronger and faster and make more money and have better lives, when they see you with this girl, it's just a matter of time before they try to pick up your girl and take her away from you. Now, you can't ask your girl to stay home every night because then she'll get restless because she already knows she has more than you going on, so you gotta go out with her occasionally. And while you're out with her, you're just hoping nobody better than you tries to hit on her because she'll leave you in a heartbeat for this other guy. And that's exactly what Kentucky had to go through with Jared Williams. They tried to date this kid and not take him anywhere, and as soon as he got out and went somewhere, all the other guys tried to hit on him. You can only hide for so long. So if you're Kentucky and this happens to you in football especially, why are you even shocked? Why are you even surprised? Because any kid in his right mind, no matter where he's from, even if he's from Lexington, Kentucky, like that kid from Lafayette who went to Alabama, that offensive lineman. If you get offered by Alabama and Kentucky in football, of course you should go to Alabama. You'd be dumb not to. NBA, last night, Golden State finishes off Portland out on the West Coast, and they finished them off in a big way. Apparently, the Warriors don't need Steve Kerr. Mike Brown, the former Cavaliers and Lakers coach, apparently can get the job done just as well. The Hawks edge Washington last night in Atlanta. That series 2-2, headed back to Washington for Game 5. And Toronto in the NBA TV series, always a fan favorite, up 3-2 now over Milwaukee, headed for Game 6. Three games in the league tonight. Houston looks to finish off OKC. They're a 7.5-point favorite. Memphis and San Antonio, take that for data, somehow is tied up 2-2. Spurs a 10-point favorite tonight. And the Clippers, the Patrick Ewing theory in full effect now that Blake Griffin is out, 3-point favorites against Utah. That series tied at 2. One team out of the playoffs, the Pacers, are about to lose their superstar player, using that term loosely, Paul George, who's already telling people he wants to go to the Lakers, further enhancing the Larry Bird and Magic Johnson rivalry, since Bird can't do anything to keep Paul George there. And I'm sorry, they lose Paul George, this team might be the worst team in basketball next year. And Magic, who's feeling quite full of himself these days, has now told the world that he's going to be representing the Lakers at the old NBA draft lottery in a couple of weeks. Always the best television of the year, the NBA draft lottery. And knowing Magic's luck in life, I'm sure the Lakers will just get the number one pick, no problem. NBA came out today and said that the LeBron James three-pointer that he hit at the end of Game 4 should not have counted because he traveled. Why is the NBA even releasing these little tidbits of like mistakes they made in the last 2 minutes by the officials? You're just pissing people off even worse.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball, the Reds lose to the Milwaukee Brewers 11-7 last night. Whatever the scouting report and the game plan is for pitching to Eric Thames, the Reds might want to change it. In 5 games against the Reds this year, Eric Thames has 7 home runs. He has 10 for the season. Oh, by the way, the Reds and Brewers play 14 more times this year, including tonight. Amir Garrett, who entered the game with a 1.83 ERA, got bombed 9 runs in 3 1/3 innings. Now his ERA 5.09. As we've said on this show, It's just a matter of time before this pitching staff will be exposed for who they are. And something tells me the exposure is developing right now. So Eric Thames leading the majors with 10 home runs, and the better he plays, the quicker that bottom line scoundrel Ryan Braun is going to be moved out of town. If you notice at the end of that game last night, Ryan Braun got pinch hit for, and who moved out to left field in Braun's position? Eric Thames. Huh, you don't say. Hey, one bright spot for the Reds last night, the bullpen. 4 2/3, only one run allowed, including a spotless inning by what I think is the Reds' best pitcher, Drew Storen, right now. Scott Schebler hit his 5th home run of the year last night. He's 4-for-9 in his last two games, but he's hitting 191 on the season. April and May MVP every year, Zach Cozart. Two more hits now, 386. I'm going to tell you now, just like I told you last year, jump off this bandwagon while you can. The real dud for the Reds so far this year offensively has been Jose Peraza. 79 at-bats, he has only 17 hits, and of those 17 hits, only 3 are for extra bases. Average of 215, and my biggest thing, he only has 2 walks on the year. And of course, he's only got 5 RBI because he's batting second, and the guy in front of him, Billy Hamilton, isn't getting on at a much better rate than Peraza is. If you're playing for right now, Scooter Jeanette should definitely be playing over Peraza. But if you're playing for the future, like the Reds obviously are, Peraza's your guy. You've got to see what you've got. But this Peraza kid has to learn to walk. My God. 2 walk and 83 plate appearances? Please. The Reds and Brewers will go at it again tonight. The Reds now 10-10, a game and a half behind the division-leading Cubs. Get used to that. Brewers 10-11. Scott Feldman for the Reds, 2.38. Speaking of pitchers who are going to be exposed soon for who they really are, Scott Feldman, Exhibit A. Zach Davies for the Brewers, 8.24 ERA, but last year in 4 starts against the Reds, Davies was 1-1 with a 3.97 ERA. Brewers a -115 out in the desert, which means you can get the Reds for +105. Seems like a good spot for the Reds. On the road this year, the Reds are 5-2, and as a road underdog, they're 5-1. The Brewers at home, on the other hand, a terrible proposition. They're 4-8 at home and 0-2 as a home favorite. But the Reds are ice cold. They've lost 5 out of 6. Brewers on fire against the Reds especially. They've won 4 of their last 5 against the Reds. Much as we hate to say it, the value here is on the Brewers. Zach Davies has not pitched well so far this season, but everything else lines up in the Brewers' favor. If you ask us, we would take the Brewers as a very small favorite, but we will not touch this game as a Mac Daddy pick.
What's our record, Larry?
8-16.
8-16. How'd we ever win 8?
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Other baseball last night. The Rockies beat the Nationals 8-4 in Colorado. Why does this matter? Bryce Harper did not play for the Nationals in Colorado. In a hitter's ballpark, the number one hitter's ballpark in all of baseball, Coors Field. Why would you not want to have Bryce Harper in your lineup at every possible time? That's like putting on a little weight during the year and then saying, you know what, I'm going to start my diet on Thanksgiving Day. You don't do that. Rest Harper when you get out of town, not when you're going into the best hitter's ballpark in the league. Dumb. But then again, what else do we expect from the toothpick himself, Dusty Baker?
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it?
Steve Delabar is a former Reds pitcher last year, and from the years 2011 to 2013, he had a 3.49 ERA, an ERA plus of 117. That's very good. And in 2013, he was an All-Star. I didn't even know that. But something happened along the way, and from 2014 until now, his ERA is 5.29, and his ERA plus is 77. That's not good. He's made a little bit over $2 million in his career, and yesterday it came out that he will be suspended for 80 games for violating the steroid policy. Huh, let's see. Started off my career really well, made an All-Star team, then I can't get anybody out. How do I get back to those good times? I take steroids. By the way, I didn't even know that A, Steve Delabar was an All-Star in 2013, and B, that he pitched with the Reds last year, and they cut him. If you got cut from last year's Reds team, from that bullpen, with the laundry list of losers that they had out there, you really have fallen on hard times. No wonder he took steroids.
You lollygag the ball around the infield. You lollygag your way down to first. You lollygag in and out of the dugout. You know what that makes you, Larry?
Lollygaggers.
Madison Bumgarner is going to be out for a few months after having a motorcycle accident, a dirt bike accident over the weekend. And now, quite possibly the best pitcher in the National League, not named Clayton Kershaw, is going to be out for an extended period of time. But yesterday, he discussed his accident with the media. Here's my thing. If this was an NBA player, and let's just face it, if it was a black player who did something like this, don't you think the media would be all over this guy? Don't you think that people would just be talking about what a loser he was, how selfish he was? But no, a white redneck baseball player like Madison Bumgarner gets a free pass from a dirt bike accident. And I'm just saying, if he was a black NBA player, he wouldn't get anything close to the free pass that Madison Bumgarner is getting. Just saying.
You want me to tell you some things that I learned about baseball?
Yes!
Well, it's not the only way to play, but it's my way. You know, I've been able to get the most hits in baseball. And I also made the most outs. And because of the great players I played with and great teams I've been on, I've been able to win the most games. But every game has been fun. And winning, hustle, and fun is baseball the Pete Rose way.
It all depends on who you are in life and where you're at, too. Barry Bonds, everybody hates him, right? Can't even get into the Hall of Fame. Nobody hit more home runs in the history of baseball, and he can't get into the Hall of Fame. Well, the city of San Francisco is now going to rename a street in his honor. Well, then again, there is a street called Pete Rose Way in Cincinnati, and he's not in the Hall of Fame either, so I guess it's okay. Way to go, Barry Bonds. What a great guy.
Safe. He's hit the run, scored. Do you believe it? A late call by the first base umpire.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't believe it.
I don't either. Look at this. That's what Pete's arguing about.
Well, why did he call? Well, Pete's got a point because he's got to make the call right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. They're going to grab Pete.
I've never seen Pete Rose touch an umpire or even come close to an umpire.
Oh, Peter gets suspended, too.
Yep.
Speaking of great guys, Tim Tebow is hitting .218 for his single-A team, and he's hit two home runs to go along with 14 strikeouts, but his team doesn't care. Do you know why? Because they're selling out games, and on the road, it's like a circus at these little single-A ballparks that don't hold more than a few thousand people. Oh, by the way, Tim Tebow's coming to Lexington. I don't know what dates they are. You'll have to look it up for yourself because, I'm just going to be honest, I'm not going to waste my time looking up the schedule of the Lexington Legends. But I'm just saying, Tim Tebow's coming to Lexington and he's playing every day for his team. Get your tickets now. NFL. Adrian Peterson, formerly of the Vikings, now with the New Orleans Saints. He'll make $3.5 million next year. What took him so long to sign? Free agency started like 2 months ago. In three games last year, he had 37 carries for 72 yards and an average of 1.9 a carry, and he's 32 years old. I wouldn't have bought into this guy for $20, much less $3.5 million. Oh, and who else plays running back for the Saints? Mark Ingram, former Heisman Trophy winner at Alabama. Last year, he had 1,043 yards, a 5.1 yards per carry average, his best season of his career, and he'll be 28 years old going into this season. And who's got more mileage? Not even close. Peterson, 2,400 carries, Ingram, 900. Something tells me by mid-season, the Saints will definitely regret this decision to sign an old running back who seems way past his prime. But then again, I doubted Adrian Peterson in 2012 coming off an ACL surgery, and he almost broke the NFL all-time rushing record that season. And if you want drama, Adrian Peterson, week one, of course, Monday night, Vikings versus Saints. ESPN must be thrilled.
Newcastle United, the fans of Raven Lunatics.
Raven Lunatics, Philadelphia Eagles.
West Bromwich Albion,
resilient,
perfect.
Swansea, symbol is like a black swan. Natalie Portman.
Southampton, nobody hates them, nobody really minds if they win.
Kevin James.
Aston Villa, a once proud institution that has fallen on hard times.
Playboy Mansion.
Arsenal, high profile team, they've won a couple titles last decade or so.
New York Giants.
And there are our rivals.
So that makes us the Jets.
I'm coaching the damn Jets!
Well, apparently when you're at the NFL scouting combine, water must be in huge shortage. You better carry your own water with you because everybody's complaining about the results of their drug test being diluted by so much water. Jabril Peppers is the latest victim of drinking just too much water at the combine, trying to dilute that sample so that his drug use apparently will not be detected. Boy, that's an old school trick, huh? But then again, the talking heads at ESPN don't like this very much because Bill Polian, a Hall of Famer somehow, who's credited with putting the Buffalo Bills together in the 90s and also just happened to draft Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf. Boy, that must have been a tough decision. He says in the history of the combine, people who test positive for drugs don't succeed in the NFL. Okay, I like Bill Polian. I just think when I listen to him talk, it's like hearing a guy way past his prime and who won't change with the times. Something tells me people have failed drug tests at the combine and actually succeeded in the league, but not according to Bill Polian, Hall of Famer.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Speaking of the scouting combine, the scores of the old Wonderlic test came out yesterday, and who was the worst quarterback? Deshaun Watson, who only scored a 20. Well, then again, Vince Young one time got a 6, but that's neither here nor there. My only thing is this. If you're going to put out these Wonderlic scores and try to embarrass certain players and lift up others, why is it that the Wonderlic scores are always designed to bring down the black quarterback? Just saying, I'm just reporting the facts here. But when Watson was asked about it, he said he made a mistake, and if anybody takes Mitchell Trubisky over him, that they're going to face the consequences. Whoa, those are strong words. I'd rather have Deshaun Watson than Mitchell Trubisky too. I don't understand this whole thing about Trubisky being so great. But apparently there's no way Watson will go before Trubisky. But who do you think North Carolina would have rather had at quarterback this past season? Trubisky or Deshaun Watson? Exactly.
5.9. Tonya Harding is the 1994 national champion.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Deshaun Kizer, who came out a few days ago saying that he had the mind of Tom Brady and the athleticism of Cam Newton, has been called by NFL draft experts a pure millennial. And I'm sure that's what these old fogey stogey NFL coaches would love to have, a rookie quarterback who acts like a pure millennial. You talk about if he goes to sit in that green room on draft day, something tells me he'll be the star because nobody's going to take him in the first round. We saw Adrian Peterson sign earlier today. One running back that's also still out there, LeGarrette Blount. He has 2 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. And oh, by the way, last year, he got 1,161 yards rushing and an NFL-high 18 touchdowns. If Adrian Peterson can sign for $3.5 million, why can't this guy sign? Apparently the Giants are interested, but we'll see. The last New England running back they signed, Shane Vereen, hasn't done squat with the Giants.
Over the years, I've also developed an enormous gambling problem.
Late news this morning, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to retire from NASCAR at the end of the season. I'm going to be honest, I didn't even know he was still racing. I thought he had gotten hurt and stopped. Gone are the days when we can make fun of NASCAR. Make fun of them for turning left every single time. Why don't they turn right? And by the way, why is every single NASCAR fan white? Every single one of them. You ever gone to a NASCAR race and seen a black dude? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just saying. And of course, back in the day, NASCAR had guys like Harry Gant, the Skull Bandit, and Dick Trickle. That was his actual name, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not cursing. But NASCAR, somehow in the 90s, became popular. Probably because of Dale Earnhardt Sr., and I think the rules were a lot different. But then they changed the rules. They made every car basically the same. But can you name any drivers today? I can't name any of them. Is Cale Yarborough still around? Where's Richard Petty these days? But how far has NASCAR fallen? They had a rainout on Sunday, so they postponed their race until Monday. And in Oakland, the Fox affiliate, instead of showing the NASCAR race, showed the Wendy Williams show. Exactly what I need. I need my Hot Topics a lot quicker than I need my NASCAR. And that's how most people in America feel these days. Because I'm sorry. NASCAR has seen their peak, and it's over. And it was over 20 years ago. And if you want to be honest, it probably ended the day that Dale Earnhardt Sr. passed away. And that's been like 15, 16 years. So Dale Earnhardt Jr. retires. I didn't even know he was still driving. That shows you where NASCAR is today.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie time. We get back to picking baseball now after going 4-1 with underdogs so far early on in the season. And if you've put $1 on all our picks so far this year, you would have had a profit of over $5. Do the math if you bet a little bit more than a dollar at a time, and you'll figure it out for yourself. But we take the big dogs. Give us your tired, your poor, your weak. And we've got another one of those tonight. The Los Angeles Dodgers travel to San Francisco to take on the Giants. Dodgers 9-11, Giants 7-13, and they just lost Madison Bumgarner. As we discussed earlier in the show, Ty Black will be pitching tonight for the Giants, 4.76 ERA. And some guy named Clayton Kershaw will pitch for the Dodgers, never heard of him before, 2.54 ERA for the Dodgers on the season. Dodgers minus 225, which means the Giants plus 205. You're getting a ton of value with the Giants, who actually defeated the Dodgers last night 2-1 in the first game of this series in San Francisco. And why wouldn't we want to take the Dodgers? They're 1-0 as a home dog this year. And against the Dodgers, they've won 17 of their last 21 in San Francisco, including the last six. While the Dodgers this year on the road, they're only 3-7. And as a road favorite, they're 2-5. And the Giants already in panic mode. They brought up a hotshot prospect last night, Christian Arroyo, who's supposed to be the next Mike Schmidt at third base. He's now the third baseman, and the Giants have moved around their entire lineup to accommodate him. But this game comes down to value and starting pitching. Yes, Clayton Kershaw is literally the best pitcher in the world. He's a three-time Cy Young winner, and against the Giants in his career, in 36 games, he's 18-8 with a 1.61 ERA. That's over a season's worth of starts. While Black is basically taking the place of Bumgarner and has one career win. That one career win was against the Dodgers last September when he pitched 8 scoreless innings. Now, Ty Black is no Clayton Kershaw for sure, but if I look at those odds and I see the Giants, who are always competitive against the Dodgers, who always play well against the Dodgers, have the home field advantage, and I'm getting 2-1 odds, yes, I'm going to take the Giants. Give me Ty Black over Clayton Kershaw tonight. This is a game about nothing more than value. Because if you tell me that if I put up $1 on the Giants tonight, and if they win, I get my dollar back and another $2 and something back, yeah, I like my chances. I like those odds. Because if I wanted to win a dollar on the Dodgers tonight, I'd have to put up $2.25 just to get that dollar. That's not smart money management. So give us the Giants at home, a history of playing very well against the Dodgers, and hopefully the Giants can get to Kershaw and get a few runs, enough to squeeze out a win. Give us the Giants over the best pitcher in the world tonight, the biggest dog on the board. And make sure you light up that Mac Daddy stogie when Mark Melancon trots in from the bullpen to close it out for the Giants. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
But let me be honest with you right now. I don't care who anybody likes in this game. I could care less. This is one of the greatest bets I will ever make in my life. I own this game. You know what that means? It's in my hand. I put it in my pocket. I know the score.
And that does it for the Tuesday, April 25th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.